This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the line with us, happy to have him too. Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. He joins us every Tuesday. He is the co-host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and we love to have him on the show. Kyle Brandt with us. Good afternoon, Kyle. Can't you see Steve dressed up with the Sabres jersey on and screaming at the door as he goes out the door? You can see that.
Of course I do. I can picture it right now. And I feel on a victory Tuesday about the Bills like Steve does about the Sabres. Let's go. Let's go. You guys know I have this whole deal on Good Morning Football where my three castmates are highly skeptical of the 2019 Buffalo Bills. And frankly, the last couple weeks, it was a little rough. So I got to come in this week and say, once again, the Bills are going to the playoffs. Everybody relax, and it feels good.
You know, it was a week ago when you talked about the Bills with us, and you talked about Josh Allen, and you were saying, I'm looking for Josh Allen to be a dog, to jump up and take command of a game. Did you see that in the win over Miami 2 days ago?
Yeah, I did. I mean, he bites a little bit. There's a long way to go, for sure, because there's some really, really scary dogs in the AFC right now, especially one who plays for Baltimore and one who plays for New England. But listen, I think the takeaway after this week for Buffalo was, yeah, but it was Miami. Who cares? Right. That's a division opponent. That's a team that played them tough the first time around. And sometimes you got to just have a sparring partner that you can just land some haymakers on. I listen, start to finish, I thought it was Josh Allen's best game of his career. It wasn't only that he was efficient and the numbers great. He just looked confident. He looked comfortable. And yes, Miami's D is terrible, but I don't care. That's exactly what you should do to a terrible D, is absolutely light them up. It was my favorite game of his. My young favorite, Dawson Knox, scored. John Brown looked like more than just a deep threat. It was really, really a good day. And yes, they played a poor team, but they beat them by a lot, which is exactly what you should do. I thought Josh Allen, he bites. He bites, and I love it.
And that's the problem you have, right? You see him do this to a team that's struggling, like the Dolphins, and you try and transpose that onto a game against, you know, Baltimore, a game like that against New England, a game like that against the Kansas City Chiefs. They're a good team who beats up on inferior opponents. Well, where does that leave them in the upper six teams in the conference that are vying for the playoffs? You know, where do they fall in that, and how far will they go? That's the real question, correct?
It's tricky, Steve. They're never going to shake that good record average team label until they beat a really good team. It's just the fault of their schedule. We've talked about this. They don't have the quote-unquote quality win. They beat the Titans with Marcus Mariota, not even Tannehill. But the quality games are coming. I mean, and frankly, you know, Josh Allen, he did not play well against New England. It was a long time ago. I guess to use the expression, bring it full circle, he's aging in dog years right now in a good way. It was early in the season. He's gotten a lot more experience since then, and New England looks much more beatable then. We can talk all day about what he did as Miami. Fact is, Baltimore is coming on the schedule. New England's coming on the schedule. And not to mention, Denver's coming on the schedule, which they need if they want to set themselves upright. So I feel like you guys and I have been talking for 3 months, and it's always, we're very encouraged by Josh, and we're pulling for Josh, but there's still things to prove, and they have the games on the schedule to prove it. So it's a buckle-up month for the Bills.
Hey, Kyle, here's a Josh Allen question for you. He ran for a touchdown the other day. He had a couple of nice runs. I think he's 23 years old. He's a big, strong guy. Right now, I think his running is important for this Bills team and important for him to kind of develop his brand, develop his method of attack. I know there's a risk of injury when you run that much as a quarterback, but for right now, I think that's perfect. That's exactly what the Bills need. Am I wrong about that? What do you think?
Well, it really works, doesn't it?
I mean, he's
really good at it. And it's, I always go back to when Michael Vick was on his ascension early years with the Falcons, and he was taking over the league, and immediately there was this crowd of people that say, hold on, don't run. And I'll never forget John Madden being like, what do you mean he shouldn't run? He's Michael Vick. He was put on this world to run. I still think Josh Allen doesn't do it out of desperation. He doesn't do it as recklessly as he did when he came into the league. And the proof is in the pudding. Every time I look up, he's scoring a touchdown. for anybody around the country or in the area who watches Red Zone Channel, every single time they go to the Bills game, it feels like Josh Allen is rushing for a touchdown. So sure, be careful, be smart. But somebody is crazy if they say don't run as much. He's great at it.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me, and people say the Mike Vick thing a lot. It's more along the lines of a Cam Newton type of attack.
Sure.
I mean, if you can differentiate. I mean, Cam Newton was a big, strong guy, and now, you know, he's looking at the statistics today. Josh Allen is tied for the lead league in third and one conversions. The guy's like the best short yardage back in the league, and that's exactly what I used to say about Cam Newton. Is that a template more so that you'd look at rather than maybe a Lamar Jackson or a Michael Vick template?
Yeah, it's, I think, body type for sure, Steve. And I think when it comes to his decision-making, let's be honest, like, I don't think, last week aside, it is the most robust offensive lineup where Josh Allen's going to sit back there and distribute to this all-pro and they hand it to this pro bowler. Like, a lot of times he says, look, everybody's covered. I'm huge and I can run. I'm going to get out of here. This is not a Pat Mahomes who has three track stars as wide receivers or somebody who's more well set up like that. Maybe down the road, next couple of years, they fill out the roster a little more. But I feel like right now Josh Allen's doing it, fighting for his life. And sure, you know, Cam took a lot of hits, just like Shaquille O'Neal took a lot of hard fouls. But we'll get that turnaround jumper working for Josh Allen. You get a couple more years, he'll be all right.
So as the league's taking shape, we're getting into the second half of the season, deep into it. What'd you think of the Monday night game last night in Mexico City? I mean, there's a lot of layers to that onion. The field was a question mark. Phillip Rivers showed up and looked 82, not just, you know, 37.
I know.
I was surprised by that. And the fact that he threw four interceptions and they couldn't win, and they still had a chance to win that game. What are we looking at now with the Chargers and the Chiefs?
It was weird because the Chargers got the Chiefs on a great night. And I don't mean the atmosphere or the foreign country or the soil. They got him on a night. Mahomes didn't do much.
Right.
And Tyreek Hill goes out of the game in the first 5 minutes. Like, the Chiefs were wounded. You go get him on that night. And listen, I know Phillip Rivers is your proverbial gunslinger. He always has been. He's going to go through a terrible month, and then he's going to look like a Hall of Famer the next month. If you watch that game to the end of the night, who knows how many people on the East Coast did, his final interception was terrible. I mean, he sat there in the red zone. They had every opportunity to win it, and he sort of lobs it to Austin Eckler, the shortest guy in his huddle. It was an easy interception. It was like something you would see a rookie do. And, you know, Phillip throws himself on the ground and kicks and screams and mugs and everything. It's kind of why he's really watchable. But he was bad last night, guys. And there's a lot of people this morning shoveling dirt on him and saying they got to draft a quarterback immediately. Here's the thing with Phil Rivers. You know that with the second that happens, over the next 3 weeks, he's going to catch fire. He's going to throw for 9 touchdowns in the next 3 games, and they'll leave him like that. But if they have the Chiefs right there ready to take out and to blow it was really tough.
Hey, Kyle, let me get you – I have two quick Bills questions for you to get back to for a second. First of all, the two kind of under-the-radar things. A great game for John Brown this past Sunday. He is among the conference leaders now in receptions. He's on pace for 90 catches. I don't know if the NFL has caught on to the fact that John Brown is having, like, kind of a Pro Bowl caliber season. Am I overstating that? What do you think?
Well, Murph, I didn't even know those numbers.
Thank you.
I didn't know he was on pace
now
for 90
know.
Catches. I think this has been a big season for him, especially a big month, because – I think John Brown's reputation has been cool nickname, cool celebrations, deep threat. With respect to him, maybe sort of a poor man's DeSean Jackson. Big time home run hitter, run the 9 route, catch the 50-yarder. But I feel like this year, if you're going to get 90 catches, you're catching the 5-yarder. You're catching the 15-yarder. You know, one of the biggest takeaways from this weekend, Miami or not, is that he didn't look like a deep threat. He looked like your number one guy. And here's the thing. The Bills season, as much as we talk about Josh Allen, we know that there's going to be a time in late December or January where they're going to need that 3rd and 9. And let's say Josh does chuck it in there. Somebody's going to need to catch it. And number 15 is the most likely guy. I want to start seeing him make big plays in the big, big games. It was nice to have a huge game against Miami, and I don't discredit it. But I want him to look that way against Baltimore, Dallas, New England. Again, it all comes back to the Bills. The next month is a gauntlet. It is who the hell are you? We're going to find out.
And what do you think, project that onto this game this week? What are the Bills looking at in this Denver team? I know they got jumped out to the huge lead in Minnesota and blew it, and it seems to be, from the rhetoric coming out of Denver, they've done this before where they've blown the big fourth-quarter lead. What are the Bills looking at with the Denver Broncos?
It's a scary team, and you think, oh, Denver, their record is terrible. If you watch Denver all year, they have no quit. Now, granted, sure, they blew the lead last week and everything, but they jumped out to the lead. They could have shown up to Minnesota and mailed that in. Their season's going nowhere. They fight every week. Vic Fangio will have them playing defense every single week. They compete. And it's like, this is, you know, to use the cliche, if I was McDermott, it's the classic trap game. Because the dogs are coming down the road, and oh, we just got to take care of business against some no-name quarterback we've never heard of on our home field from a losing team in the Broncos is a terrible, terrible mentality. Like, they've snuck up on some people this week. So as much as I love talking Baltimore and Dallas, do not sleep for a second on Denver, because how frustrating would it be if you have a setback against Denver before you got to run the juggernaut? It'd be really tough. They got to take care of business.
Kyle, I got another under-the-radar Bills question for you on the defensive side of the ball. I think people might be, you know, we talked about it in the first hour here. The Bills now with the 7 sacks against Miami. I know it was Miami.
Yeah.
But they are top 10 in the league in sacks now. They're 7th overall. And they have 15 different defenders have come up with sacks this year. They lead the NFL in that department. I don't know if – look, we've talked about the Buffalo defense, how good they've been, and always kind of say, well, they got to rush the passer more. They're doing that, and they're getting it done by a big cast of characters there.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. It sounds like a McDermott team. It reminds me of his old Panthers team that he used to coach. The sacks are great, and you know, whether it's Fitzpatrick or whoever they're going against, it's fine. You know me, my concern always comes back to stopping the running game. I feel like this team has scars for what happened to them in games like the Cleveland game and games like the Philadelphia game. And, you know, they're going to play Baltimore. And Baltimore is going to run right at you over and over and over. Never mind Lamar. I'm talking about Mark Ingram up the middle. I'm talking about even Philip Lindsay this weekend. The sack things are nice, but if it was a fight, those are the big body blows. Those are the big overhand rights. I'm talking about when it goes to the ground, MMA style. Do they have that game? Because I've seen them get gashed this year. That's always my fear for this defense. It's not the sacks. It's the run, dude.
You are discounting the win over Miami. I get it. But you surely are.
That's right. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth.
I'm not.
Who cares? And now I'm discrediting from Miami. But Miami is pretty bad. I guess I'm going full circle.
But the Bills are sitting here now. They got to go, for sure, they got to go 3-3 over the last 6 games of the season. Get to 10 wins, that puts them, gives them a 94% chance to get into the playoffs. So you go down and you look. If you're going to look at Thanksgiving, they're going to go into Dallas.
Yep.
Dallas overall in their history has a losing record on Thanksgiving Day games, which is surprising to me. But that all of a sudden with the Cowboy defense playing like it is. That may be a time where the Bills do kind of bust out a little bit and all of a sudden have a little bit of a showcase game.
It'd be fantastic. And I think it's interesting. It's what's referred to these days as a dueling Spider-Man game, because also the Cowboys get the same rap that the Bills do.
Right.
They haven't beaten anybody. They don't have any signature wins. This Cowboys team lost to the Jets badly. The Cowboys team beat up the bad teams and lost to the good teams, and which a lot of people say that about the Bills. What's interesting now about Dallas, on that Thanksgiving Day, you know, if they go and they flip the table, the Bills do, and they stop Ezekiel and they stop Dak, that's it, Steve. I mean, that's going to be the American holiday for the Bills. They need that one because no one else is watching otherwise. Trust me. I'm on a football show every single day, and I don't think the other three hosts have seen one snap of Bills football all season. I'm throwing them out there. Peter, Kay, Nate, I don't think they've watched the Bills since you were playing, Steve.
Right.
And I don't even know if Kay was alive then, respectfully.
Right.
But I've watched
the
Bills this year, and they'll watch them on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Kyle Brandt, our guest, he is co-host of the NFL Network's Good Morning Football show. Around the league a little bit, if we can, Kyle. Your Bears team, I know you're a Bears fan. I don't know what went down with Trubisky the other day, and it was a weird sight to see him and his coach Nagy locked in an embrace on the sideline. Did they move forward with Trubisky? Is he really hurt? What do you make of all that drama up there in Chicago?
It was so strange. And you know what, Murphy? Whatever takes attention away from the kicker, you know, it's almost like they're saying, no, you talk about the kicker, you talk about the quarterback. So, you know, it was very popular on Twitter the second the game was over to say that it was a quote-unquote hip injury and that Nagy pulled Trubisky, which I actually think is nonsense, because if you were going to pull him, you wouldn't do it with 3 minutes left down 2 scores to go to Chase Daniel. I think he was actually hurt. The whole thing is just a disaster. I mean, it's you got to understand, someone from Buffalo could get this. Bears fans live in the 20, 30 years ago past often, and this was the 34-year season in the making since the 85 Bears that they were going to win it all. Mm. And it's just been absolutely brutal. And everyone says, move on from Trubisky. There's nowhere to go. They're in an arranged marriage. There's no prenup. There's no nothing. There's no young guy on the bench. There's no draft pick to take a new guy. Short of doing some sort of outlandish trade for a big-name quarterback or an underwhelming one like Mariota, it sounds great. Move on from Trubisky. There's nowhere to move. You cannot turn the page when there's only one page in the book. If you hear my frustration,
I do.
The Chicago native coming out of it.
Refresh my memory, Kyle. Who in the Bears organization decided to move up and get Trubisky in the draft a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, it was the general manager, Ryan Pace. And if only, Murph, there were some other good quarterbacks in that draft that he could have chosen. But I think time has shown that only guys like Deshaun Watson and Mahomes were available. I don't know where those guys are. Not the XFL or something.
Right.
You are frustrated. I like it when you get frustrated.
Yeah, listen,
I know. And I think I can tell you enjoy it. What's
every,
my safe word,
Murph? Every team, listen, every team can feel your pain because everybody's done it, blown it. Blown their draft pick on a guy who didn't work out. The Bills have done it in the past 15 years. We're all so familiar with it. We all have high hopes. What about a guy? The rumors, and I know you've probably talked about this at length, either on or off the program. Cam Newton is going to be available. Guys like that, like the Nick Foles, the Kirk Cousins, the Case Keenums, all these quarterbacks. I've never seen so many quarterbacks fly around the league like we have in the past handful of years. Is that going to happen in Chicago?
I think maybe. It depends. We've heard everything from the Bears should trade for Cam to the Bears should sign Kaepernick and all sorts of nonsense. Here's the thing. Anybody watching, I'm just going to walk over to my charger because I'm enjoying this conversation so much. I don't want the battery.
Okay. Uh-oh.
All right. So here's the thing. Because I think that plot just thickened. Everybody was saying, Kyle Allen, he's the next guy. They're going to get rid of Cam. Kyle Allen just went out and absolutely messed up the field the other day. And now it's all of a sudden, maybe we keep Cam Newton. Maybe Kyle Allen was just this new thing, this new flavor of the week. So I don't even know if the Panthers are going to get rid of Cam. They've had him on the shelf now for weeks. Cam Newton might be finally healthy to start this season. So it's absolute purgatory. And for the Bears, there are no good answers. I wish they had a Josh Allen.
We got just a minute or two left with Kyle Brandt before his battery goes down. You're in the kitchen, Kyle. Can you make us a sandwich while you're there or something?
Yeah, sure. You want ham and cheese, Murph? I got you. No
That'd
problem.
Be great.
I'll put butter on the bread for you.
That'd be great. No, one more thing, and it's about the show coming up Friday on the NFL Network, the NFL 100. It starts Friday with the show about the running backs, Buffalo's Thurman Thomas, one of the 24 finalists for the 12 running backs who will be the NFL All-Time 100 team. 12 running backs. Thurman have a chance there? That's an awfully great group of running backs there, obviously.
Oh, it's unbelievable. This is my Comic-Con. Those guys are my Iron Man and my Thor. Thurman's there. OJ's there. And, we had a question this morning at the table that I thought was fun. We said that right now, if you had to start a franchise, that old question, which one of these running backs would you pick? Nate Burleson chose Barry Sanders because he's a Detroit homer. I think Peter Toll chose Earl Campbell. And, look, I chose Emmitt Smith. I hyped Emmitt Smith, and I chose Walter Payton just because he's the greatest I've ever seen. I'll say this about our guy, though, Thurman. I'm trying to imagine him now, not like when you were playing with him, Steve, when you guys were really almost like revolutionaries, but I'm trying to imagine him now in the constant RPO, wide open, split out the running back in the slot, put him here. I feel like Thurman would absolutely eat teams alive. So I don't know if he's going to get in the final 12, and I'm a network employee, but I don't know the list. He's up against tough competition. There's guys, even his contemporaries, people like Marshall Faulk or someone like LT, who did a lot of the things Thurman did. In my opinion, I think he is one of the 12 best ever. If you're talking top 12, but I don't make the list.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a really tough list to pare down. We've all seen all the guys on that list. Well, except for the guys like Hugh McElhaney and Red Grange.
Right,
and there's some old timers that are always sprinkled in there. But I do think it depends on what criteria you're using. Adrian Peterson is a much different football player than Thurman Thomas. And Barry Sanders is much different than Jim Brown. So it's kind of how you project your team to look like. And what offense are we going to be running, right? So are we going to run the wing T or what?
I don't know. It's the ultimate bargument. It's like, okay, so how would Jim Brown be running behind Larry Allen and Nate Newton?
Right.
Conversely, what kind of production would LaDainian Tomlinson have if he had to have a second job where he worked in a coal mine and then he played in games at night like some of those guys that 100 years ago.
Right.
So I don't know, but the program is perfect, and then they'll do quarterbacks and they're going to do coaches. So, like, if you just live and breathe football and you want to sit around and have some beer nuts and talk about it, it is so perfect for us. I could talk an hour with you guys alone.
Yeah,
it sounds like
a
great show. That's
thanks,
coming
Kyle.
Up Friday night, 8 p.m., NFL Network, the NFL 100 all-time team. The running backs is Friday. Thurman's a finalist. And, Kyle, great to talk to you. Thank you. We'll talk again. We had fun today. I think we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah.
We always have fun, except when we talk Bears. Go Sabres.
There you go. Thanks, Kyle.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.